Okay, so welcome everybody. Today is January 25th, 2016, which is rolling right along. This is Terry DeMayo. Mm-hmm. I am with the October 2015 Life Coach Training Group. This is Coach the Coach, Section D, and we are on class, Practicum 2, Class 4. I can't believe it's our last class together. And you know what? It's my last class teaching practicum two for a while because, well, I may do another cohort, but Abigail has moved me over to coach the coach three for a while. Just, I don't know, she's moving things around, so she's putting me there for a while. So I'm going to miss teaching this topic too for a while. So let's have a bang-up class today, shall we?
Okay.
Together, yeah. I'm gonna transfer these names to a piece of paper while we chat, because it'll be easier for me to call on people. So I'm looking across a screen here with who's here and the names, and it's a bit of a challenge for my eyes. But questions. I loved your forum post, Kristen.
Oh, good. Thank you. Oh, I loved exploring.
Yeah, good. Questions about the work, about finding thoughts, anything we've covered in the past? No? You guys have the work lit, huh? You got it down pat?
No.
No.
I actually, this is Electra.
Yeah.
I was going to post something. I wrote something down, and then my daughter woke up with a crick neck, so I didn't somehow had to deal with that. But I feel like I really got very clear, and I was talking about this with somebody else about like the whole turnarounds.
Mm-hmm.
What I personally was in trouble with all the way along, really, and continue to, is the sort of concept of dropping down into the body, and I started having arguments with my body about like what was going on, you know, and I almost posted that. Maybe I'll post it anyway.
Okay.
But I.
What do you mean you're having arguments about dropping into your body?
Well, you know, so what I was going to post, and I might still post it because I wrote it down, was I had a, you know, I'd sort of try to check in with something when I had a thought, like when I got a thought going. Well, check in with my do. I would sort of do the things that I needed to do. I had done a, you know, sheets and thinking and also coach to coach, you know, practicing. But I found that like my body didn't want to cooperate with my brain. Like,
oh, okay, whoa. Let's start with a specific example because I'm lost.
Okay. Well,
and it's,
for example,
not your fault. It's just I can comprehend it much easier if we're saying, I had this thought, and this is what I tried, and this is what happened.
Okay. I had a thought about something that was specifically frustrating, and it was a very specific frustration. It wasn't anything really dire or dramatic, but it was specific, and it had to do with somebody not showing up when they said they were going to show up.
Okay.
So then I sort of thought, I got really unnecessarily annoyed. It ruined a lot of things that I was going to try to deal with that day, and I let it really ruin my day in a certain kind of way. It was pretty minor, really, but
okay.
I turned it into something big.
Yeah,
so I checked it with my body.
Yeah.
Yeah, I checked it with my body and thought, okay, now this is coming out of my body. Like, now I'm, you know, eating something I don't want to be eating. I have a stomachache. I'm all twisted in knots, and I'm pissed. And I couldn't really, like, so I was pissed in my head, but my stomach was, by later that afternoon, and it was, I thought, okay, I have stomach cancer now. I was in such a bad mood that it felt like my stomach was doing one thing, and my brain was doing another, and there was no connection between,
sounds like it's a completely perfect connection. You're believing that this person should have shown up when they didn't. You were ticked off about it, and you were fighting with yourself about caring, it sounds like. Tell me where I'm wrong. You were telling yourself, this is unnecessary, I shouldn't be annoyed, or you were just flat out annoyed?
I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to communicate is, and it is part of a little bit of a question, is I felt really clear about certain things that had to do with the work, but I was having trouble connecting up the feeling that I was having in my body with the thoughts.
Oh, okay.
How they connected to the thoughts that I was having in my head.
Sounds like, well, what were the thoughts you were having in your head? Let him have it. This jerk that didn't show up.
Well, I had prepared for them to show up and had done all this stuff ahead of time so that
uh-huh.
we could do some work. And then, you know, this isn't the first time, but they canceled at the last minute and their excuse
mm-hmm.
wasn't very good. And then I got all like, okay, well, that's great because now I can't do
mm-hmm.
any of what I was going to do
okay.
that I just prepped for 2 hours for. So I was really like, I think I was just, it threw my day.
Okay.
And I don't have a lot of time in general, so I was really extra annoyed about that. And then
okay,
I took
so
that
time
into
out.
My body.
Time out. It blew your day. They should have shown up. You prepared for nothing. I hear all those thoughts, and your body is feeling the upset. What part of this is confusing you?
I didn't feel like my body was feeling this feeling. I couldn't connect myself to making sense of body stuff with the thought process.
They ruined my day. They should have showed up. They never show up. They've done this to me before. And my stomach is aching so bad I start suspecting I have stomach cancer. I'm in a rotten mood. I'm all tied up in knots. I'm spinning in my head. Again, that sounds like a perfect match to me.
I guess it didn't feel like a perfect match. I'm trying to frame that as a question. I didn't feel like that was a perfect match. I was trying to work with both those ideas.
Which ideas?
Well, the idea that I was frustrated, pissed off, and irritated, and all of that with this sort of like, increasingly terrible stomach ache that wasn't, I don't know, it just felt like two separate things. And I had talked about this with one of the coach to coach that I did, practice that I did last week. And, you know, sometimes I have trouble melting those two ideas, what you're thinking and your limiting thoughts. And then also your body, you know, how your body is responding to these things.
Okay. We're clear on what you were thinking, right?
Yeah.
This is somebody who was very cavalier with your time and effort. They let you down. I mean, I'm substituting things you didn't say, so let me stick to what you said. You know, they didn't show up. They've done this before.
Yeah.
It ruined my day. And along with that, you had some really intense bodily sensations.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm not getting is what you're not understanding. The thinking, the circumstance is the person canceled at the last minute, right? And the thoughts were, they're inconsiderate, they should have shown up, they've done this before, they blew my day. And that's driving a set of feelings in your body. Stomach ache, whatever. I didn't write down fast enough everything you said.
Right. Just basically a stomach ache. It could have been a stomach ache that was just there anyway. Who knows?
Could have been.
That's
the thing. Who knows? True.
But it was there, and I was in a bad mood, and I guess my question is, and I don't know if anyone's here with me on this, I didn't feel like I could use that body compass to help me through the other part of that, which was my thought process. So it felt like those two things were pretty separated, and I couldn't work on them together.
Okay. The body compass here is telling you you've left north. You're in the deep, deep, you know, shackles on territory, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your body compass was telling you you had work to do. That's all it says.
Mm.
It's saying something is off here. Either you're believing something, you're believing painful, stressful thoughts, and or you're about to walk into a situation that you need to pay attention to. You know, sometimes we get those negative feelings because we're around somebody we don't really want to be around and should begin to pay attention to that. Or we're in a situation that's in our pleasure, that's not bringing us joy or satisfaction in some way. So we're violating our own boundaries. So the body compass can be saying stay away or move towards. And in square two and practicum three, you know, you're going to learn some more about those lighter feelings that you want to move towards, right? So that's one use of the body compass. It points us in a direction. The other use of the body compass is when you're feeling rotten and nothing really just happened. You know, the example I always use is the dog died. If the dog is okay, there's nothing really out there in your life that has gone south. Everybody is healthy and happy. And what has happened is this person hasn't shown up and you're flooded with all these thoughts. The body is saying, hey, this does not feel good. Let's work through these limiting beliefs and then make a decision about what to do about this inconsiderate person.
I see. Okay, that makes sense.
Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to get clear on that, partly because it's hard to help somebody else do that.
Of course. Of course. Yes. And now that
you
I understand
it,
it's a really good question. But I think what you were expecting was the body to maybe speak to you in a more clear verbal language. The body
speaks
in sensation. And then the mind, the first thing I look for when I get agitated, because if something is, and I know the difference in me, agitation, I start pacing around, I'm ruminating, my thinking needs some cleaning up. Now,
mm-hmm.
if something tragic has happened, I'm pretty aware of that. And, you know, of course I'm going to feel terrible. And then there is those set of sensations, it's like, this is not a person I really want to spend much time around. You know, I date, and I was introduced to a man, and he called me yesterday. And I could tell in his voice, this is not, it was like my body compass was not alive and feeling happy. My body compass was like, oh, this is a big drag. You know, he's not getting what I'm talking about here. There's no click in this communication. And he kept saying, but we have to meet. How can you tell that I'm not the right one for you if we don't meet face to face? And I said to him, listen, I don't need to meet you face to face. With all due respect, I'm sure you're a wonderful person, and you're right. In general, you get a good sense, a better sense of a person in person. But I can tell from the way this conversation is going, we don't even need to do that. He wanted to drive 5 hours to meet me. It's like, no, you don't need to do that. And the more he argued with me, the more certain I was that my body compass was spot on, because he said, well, I really don't mind taking the drive. It's like, well, take the drive, but don't do it on my account, you know? You see, so I wasn't having limiting beliefs about him. My body compass was saying, this is not somebody you want to even have dinner with. He's not your cup of tea. You see? So those are various places. But if I get on the phone Now, let's say a prospective date calls me, and I'm a little excited by it, but he starts to get off the phone without making plans to do something, and then I start getting that feeling. Oh, you know, I might be thinking, oh, I'll never find another lover, or he doesn't like me, or he probably doesn't think I'm pretty enough, or I wasn't fun enough on the phone. See, I can get that limiting, that same sinking feeling from my own beliefs in the same kind of situation. So the first thing I do typically is to check, am I believing something that's not true? And yesterday it was like, no, I'm not believing anything that's not true. You know, I just don't want to go out to dinner with this man. Does that help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it does help. I have a light bulb clicking, a little
right.
like I had a light bulb clicking over something else that you said last week.
Okay, good, good. We like light bulbs. Intuition,
mm-hmm.
you guys. Intuition, which Marmoset is intuition. You know, I'm curious about this and that and the other. Intuition works in the absence of painful thoughts. You see? When I can come into a situation without an expectation, without an agenda, without believing anything should or shouldn't be, my intuition is spot on. I get those signals, move towards this, move away from this. But when my beliefs get in the way, my intuition, my marmoset is not working accurately. I first got to clean up the beliefs, and then boom. Intuition and fear are very different. So y'all can think
yeah.
about that too. Okay. Anyone else with a question?
This is Tiffany. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a little off topic. I don't know. I was just wondering if you have any experience with people being just kind of in a really dark place and maybe doing the medication route. Help them kind of break through. I don't know if medication helps with the thought dissolving or I don't know if you have any experience with that.
I have lots of experience with that, and have you guys have ethics yet?
No.
No.
It comes towards the end. I don't want to take the class's time with this, Tiffany, but I encourage you and all of you really, you're coaching now. Listen to the basic ethics recording. Review those materials. If you have a question about it, you can post a your own thread. I don't know. Email me, and I will get it on the forum and answer the question where everybody can see it. They
okay.
used to post a separate ethics question thread at the beginning of LCT, and that's not up there anymore, and it might be my assistant's fault. I'm not quite sure why that's not up there anymore. But listen to the basic recording, and there is a set of guidelines for referring a client to a mental health practitioner. And so there's a number of considerations and factors. But sometimes the short answer is, you know, medication is a good route for certain people. That doesn't mean to say we should put it in the water supply for everybody that has a bad day. But there are genuine, valid purposes, times, and people for whom psychotropic, antidepressant, anti-anxiety kind of drugs are appropriate. So is that enough for right now, Tiffany?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Terry.
Yeah. Listen to the basic recording, review those guidelines, and then email me your question, and I'll get it up on the forum and answer it so everybody can see it.
Okay.
Okay, good. I'm glad you raised it, though. And when we have our ethics class together later on, we'll go into all kinds of interesting questions like that one. Okay. Anyone else?
I have a question. Laurel.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
So when I'm coaching with other cadets, it seems to be going, you know, pretty well. But the couple of times that I've tried this on people that are not cadets, I can really feel them. I can really feel them getting pissed off.
Okay.
Mainly, I just wanted to know if this was a usual response. Like, no. Mainly because I'm asking them to slow down, and I don't know if it's because our relationship has been, our friendship has been different. I tend to be a more empathetic listener, and suddenly I'm using other tools and asking them to slow down.
Well,
and they seem to get really pissed.
Okay.
So is that common?
So here's, no, not at all.
Okay, so it is
no.
me.
Well, you said that, I didn't, but let me give you a couple. First of all, this is, I encourage you all to go outside the training to work with people, because you're going to find a very different experience, because
yeah.
your friends in training know what they're supposed to say. And they're also a little more used to answering nosy questions, because we're in this training asking each other nosy questions. Now, again, I urge you to listen to the basic ethics recording. And in that, I talk about working with friends. Friends are some of the most difficult people to work with for a number of reasons, but one of them is because you have an outside relationship, or family too, because you have an outside relationship, they're going to tend to want to save face with you. So they're not going to want to admit their foibles so readily as an outside client that doesn't need to impress you and is really coming to you because something needs improvement in their life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a little less neutral. Now, what Byron Katie says is that when you find somebody who needs your advice, take it. So I would suggest to you, Carol, that you
yeah.
slow down.
That you slow down. Oh.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and bring your energy level down, because I can feel your energy right over the phone, and it's high.
Yeah.
And there's a time and a place for that great high energy, and I'm picturing you as a very energetic person. But do you hear how deliberate and measured my voice is when I'm speaking to you? That will cause people to slow down without you saying anything. I just set an intention for the person to slow down. I take a lot of pauses. I keep my voice soft. And they usually will slow down. And if that doesn't happen, I kind of make it about me. You know, I'm having a little trouble following you. Can we just take 3 easy breaths together? And then if you'll start at the point where, you know, the dog ran in the street, and tell me what happened after that, I think I'll get it. So you see how I use my voice as a tool there to help somebody
yeah.
down?
Yeah.
That's something you can play with. But your own energy, you want to be the leader of the energy in these encounters. And, you know, keep trying. Don't give up. I'm throwing some ideas out. I'm not there listening. I'm not a fly on the wall. But I'm just taking a few educated guesses about what's happening. But, you know, when somebody feels pushed, they will push back. So, for instance, if we were in person, I could show you this very easily. But you know how you hold your hand up like a stop? You know, you palm out, stop. Okay, now if I put my hand up to yours, palm to palm, and I pushed, what are you going to do?
Push back.
It's reflex. Yeah, absolutely. It's a reflexive thing. So verbally the same thing, something is happening to make these people feel pushed or embarrassed or sheepish or something like that. So just play detective. Don't take it personally. Just play detective and adjust a few things and see what happens.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. I would love to hear on the forum what you do and what you find works and what doesn't work. You know? Experiment
yeah.
a little bit.
Okay. Will do.
Okay. Cool. And thank you for taking that feedback so well, Electra. Thank you. All right.
This is Tiffany. That was Laurel.
I'm sorry, what? Oh, that was Laurel. I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Right.
I was just going to say this is Tiffany, and the ethics is May 23rd for those who want to look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, but now is the time to listen to the basic recording, and you can listen to it again right before class. It is a very content-heavy course, and for some of you, it's brand-new concepts all over the place and lots of concepts. We talk about confidentiality and informed consent and mental health problems, and the question of a suicidal client gets particular attention. I mean, all kinds of things in there, and, you know, how to refer people out and how to keep out of trouble with clients ethically. And it just covers a lot of material. And if you're working with people at this point, it's really a good idea to listen to it. So,
are you saying that it's already up, or you're saying that you're having trouble?
No, it should be up. They put it. Abigail usually posts it with her overview class right at the beginning of LCT. Let me get on your learning site and look.
It's already posted on May 23rd.
Oh, is that where it's? Okay, I didn't know exactly where they do post it, but I know it is posted. May 23rd?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I was looking at March. May 23rd, ethics, there it is. So there's a transcript of the recording too. One of the few classes we give you a transcript. Again, because there's so much content there. Okay. Let's talk about ACT, shall we? This is a very, very cool tool. You know what? I want to talk about the dismount first. What are you guys doing when you take somebody? All right, you find out the area of least satisfaction. You know, what sucks in your life, or what can I help you with, or what would you like to address today? And the client tells you, and then you start looking for thoughts. You identify one or two or three limiting thoughts, and you select one. And you frame it up in a nice way that will work with the work. You guide them through the work. Now what do? Anyone have any ideas?
Hi, it's Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to follow your advice from a couple of classes ago when you talked about this, and pick or have the client pick out the thought or the turnaround that worked. I'm trying to remember, sorry if I'm a little disjointed here, to try to find the turnaround that worked, that they resonated most with or that felt most clear or doable.
Truer
to
than
them.
The original thought is actually the
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Which of, the way to do it that way is you ask the client, which of these turnarounds seems to you to be as true or truer than the original thought?
Ah, okay.
My mother
yeah,
does
I was
love
I was trying to frame it up so that I could do what you had suggested, which was to ask for two or three examples or even one example of how they could start living that turnaround.
Living
that
the turnaround, very good.
Right,
very good.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But to just be real clear on choosing which one, it's the one that you just said, the one they should choose is the one that feels the most as true or truer than the original.
Yeah, and sometimes they'll say two of them seemed really true. You know, you, there's no magic there. That's the Byron Katie way. The way I like to do it, and I did it just this morning. I had a client before this class, and we did the work on you're supposed to do it was the thought. And we were talking about he's got a kid with special needs that's not doing his homework. And, you know, I was asking him, well, why are you pushing him to do the homework? Because there's a lot of stress in the family. He says, well, you're supposed to do it, you know, i.e. homework. And the you there is the kid. And, you know, we went through some turnarounds. We went through the thought and some turnarounds. And, oh, man, did a lot of juicy stuff come up. Basically, where he needs to look good to the teacher. The kid needed to do the homework so he could look good. And the kid is struggling and resisting and hating school and hating homework and blah, blah, blah. And we also have a relationship. The main thing he hired me for was his relationship with his wife. And I said something very provocative to him when we finished the work. I said, are you aware of how this particular thought is working in other areas of your life? He was like, what? Whoa, what do you mean? And I said, well, think about the issue that we've been discussing with your wife. Is you are supposed to do it a theme in that too? And he was stunned. And so after all of that, I said to him, okay, now, as we were doing the exercise this morning, what did you discover that you might not have been aware of before? Well, the main thing he discovered was, whoa, this is really part of what's getting in my way in my marriage. I am going, you know, I am expecting our relationship to go according to a prescribed set of rules that aren't working in this situation between us. So he was really impressed with that. And then, now this is pretty advanced stuff, you guys. You know, I don't expect you guys to hold all these pieces. And I've been working with this guy for a while, but I want you to just hear how it plays out in a live call. And I said, okay, any other insights? And he said, well, yeah, you know, with my son, I realize I'm trying to save face with the teachers. I want to impress them with what a good parent I am. And so we discussed, well, how could you achieve that goal in a way that's less wear and tear on your family? And so we brainstormed some ideas about he's going to approach the teacher and talk to the teacher about some various approaches that we don't need to repeat right here. And the whole thing about his relationship, I just let that go. I didn't even say to him, well, how are you going to bring that into the real world? Because I want that one to just kind of marinate in there until we are having a fuller conversation again, maybe next session, about his relationship with his wife. But for now, he left with some concrete things he's going to do with his son and with the teacher. So that's another way of going about it, Kristen. And both are good. Both are valid.
I love that you, instead of making, you said, how could you achieve that goal of pleasing the teacher? Or of, you know, that I love that you just gave him a way to do that. That was a better outlet than trying to change that thought that he needed to please the teacher. That's pretty cool.
Well, it wasn't, his goal is really to be a very conscientious person. And so what, you know, he wants everybody to know that he's a good guy and doing as much as he can on every front. And of course, that's his problem because he stresses himself out. He's trying to be a number one husband, father, you know, in his career, all over the place. And it's always by an exterior set of what you're supposed to do rules. So, yeah, I try to empower clients as much as I possibly can and help them meet those goals. because we all want to look good. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's when we're trying so hard.
Yeah, but I just liked it because instead of making him wrong for trying to do that, you know, and I'm not saying that I would make someone wrong for that, but I love how it would invite that him to accept something about himself without making a judgment about it and just sort of look at it.
Yes, 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 yes. Good. I'm glad that you noticed. Okay, so that's the dismount. And you get the way the flow goes, our basic coaching model. Find an area of least satisfaction. Well, you know, first we're going to live it to give it. And that's our ongoing work. That's our self-coaching and our getting coached practice. It's our practice and habit of staying in touch with our body, you know, learning our body compass and what it means and what those signals mean. You know, am I hungry? Am I stressed? Is this a situation I need to stay away from? Did something really real out there happen that I need to grieve? Do I have thoughts that need dissolving? All of that is our live it to give it practice, which is actually the first step and the thing that you will do for the rest of your life. I know I do. And you know, I trained with Martha, 8 years ago or so? And I don't ever see that it's a finish point I'm going to get to. What I see is that I've got a methodology that keeps me inspired and happy most of the time. And when it doesn't, I've got a methodology and a practice to get myself out of the soup. So that's step one. Step two, find an area of low satisfaction. What sucks, client? What can I help you with, client? Step three, find the motivation. Why is that bugging you? You know, why does your kid have to do his homework? I mean, I'll ask something that stupidly simple, or why do you care? And it may be obvious, but for different clients, there's a different reason why the kid has to do their homework. The next step is to find the thought that's driving the stress. So you are supposed to do it, in the case with my client this morning. The next step is to dissolve the thought. We did it, took him through the work. And then what's the last step of the model? My mind just went blank. There's one more step, right? I'm going to have to pull out my handbook here.
It's not the dismount, I guess.
The last step of the model is, oh, no, I got all the steps.
It's the dismount.
Well, yeah, and I skipped the one about engaging the client in how this thought or belief impacts the emotions. The dismount is part of the structure of the coaching session. So, yeah, it's not technically part of the model, but, yeah, we don't just leave the client hanging out there like they do their turnarounds and it's like, see ya. So we want to give it some some closure, some direction, and help the client use what they discovered as they move forward in life. And, you know, for us, again, don't get too hung up on whether they do it or not. I don't get hung up on whether they do it or not. Because, it takes time to undo some habits. This client of mine has been doing what he's supposed to do for decades. So one session with me isn't going to change that. But it's going to begin to give him some insight where he can begin to notice the behaviors, notice how that pattern is affecting his life, start making some choices. And as all that happens, the brain remaps. It literally remaps. And then doing what you're supposed to do becomes more of an internal process rather than a process of society says you got to do it this way. Therefore, you know, come hell or high water, this kid of mine is going to get this homework done. Okay. So that's the way we flow through a session. And do you believe you've learned enough at this point to conduct, I mean, in my practice, I would say 85, 90% of my sessions all are square one coaching. I'm a square one coach by and large, and I do some square two, square three stuff, but, you know, it'll revert back to square one stuff very often with clients. New issues, like with this guy, you know, he didn't want to talk about his marriage today because they're getting along so much better, which is like hallelujah. He had another issue. He wanted to talk about his son. If he had just come to the session and said, I'm getting along better with my wife, I don't know what to talk about today, I would have said, well, let's look at what's changed. What are you doing differently now that's helping that relationship? So I'd have him really begin to look at those things doing. If somebody's moving around a lot, then we can hear the banging. So if you would four star, please. Thank you. So that's the way coaching works. It's pretty cool. And you guys have learned so much of what you need to do it, which is super, super cool. Now, let's add another cool trick to your bag of tools, and that is the ACT tools. And these are gems. I'm going to tell you guys how I use them, and you can use them, you can experiment with them. What I would encourage, though, is don't think the work stinks, the work is too complicated, I don't like those turnarounds, so I'm just going to stick with ACT tools. If you will always make your tool selection consciously, and the work, yeah, it's structured and it's a little complex compared to ACT, but to stay away from it because you don't like it means you've got work to do. Now, I have a couple of clients that I cannot use the work with. For one reason or another, you know, I can't get a net over them to use the work with. It's rare in my practice. I've been trained by Byron Katie. I've been to 2 9-day schools, so I'm very comfortable with the work. But I got a couple of clients that, and I can't even explain to you why that is, but I ask them those questions, and I never get them to get where they need to go. So one in particular, I use ACT with her. But it's not because I don't try the work. And I will often just say, you know, well, when you're believing that, how's life working? I skip the formality of questions one and two with her. How does that feel? Well, what if you no longer could believe, you know, that your mother doesn't love you, whatever it is. What would that be like? Gosh, you know. And so sometimes I can get her there that way by playing with it a little bit, but usually not. ACT works really well with her. Another way that ACT works really well, and this is how I use it with the bulk of my clients, after I've worked with them for a while and they begin to understand the concept that their stress, their upset, their limits are being caused by their thinking, and they start to get the idea that they have patterns of thinking that get in their way, like the man today, you're supposed to do it that way. When he starts to really get how that belief is interfering with his life all over the place, and it's a thought that he has control over, the ACT tool is a great one to use. So can I have a volunteer? I promise you'll live through it. It's not going to hurt. And get out the list of the painful thoughts that you brought with you. Or if you didn't bring your list, jot one down. Mm-hmm. And if you can't think of one, I'm sure you can think of one about this training.
This is Tiffany. I'll volunteer.
Thank you, Tiffany. Okay. So, Tiffany, let's hear one of your thoughts. It's
The one that's bugging me a lot lately is I'm not a good parent for my 12-year-old son.
Okay. I'm not a good parent. I'm going to shorten it to that. And if I was doing the work with you, I would take you to the last situation. When's the last time you were thinking about, I'm not a good parent for my 12-year-old son?
This morning,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I would have you go back to that situation and guide you through the work with that. But let's just say you're a little further along the road as a client and you know this is a recurring thought. So I would say, Tiffany, when you tell yourself you're not a good parent for your 12-year-old son, how does that work? How does that feel?
I feel suffocating, crushing.
Okay. Now, I want you to say it this way. I'm having the thought that I'm not a good parent for my 12-year-old son.
Okay. I'm having the thought that, and I want to change it to, I'm not a good mom, my 12-year-old.
You're not a good mom, okay. Did you say it? Say it again.
I'm having the thought that I'm not a good mom for my 12-year-old son.
Okay. What happens?
Makes me sad.
Okay. Is it any different than before?
Yeah, this feels a lot more tender.
A lot more tender?
Uh-huh.
By tender?
That's because I feel like a complete failure in being able to help him.
Okay. Try this. I notice I'm having the thought that I'm not a good mom for my 12-year-old son.
Okay. I notice I'm having the thought that I'm not a good mom to my 12-year-old son.
Okay. Notice this time.
That makes me feel a little bit more removed from it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't feel as intense.
Okay. That's basically the idea, Tiffany. Now, Tiffany, for you, what I would really recommend you do is, this is really intense for you. And in my judgment, and were I working with you, I would be using the work around these issues with your son.
Okay.
Because it didn't, this to me is a little lighter tool. And it didn't move it a whole lot. It did some.
Okay. Yeah.
But what we're trying to do is observe ourselves as people having thoughts rather than adopt the identity of a bad mother. You see, you're pretty much in the identity of a bad mother. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're right.
Yeah. And so this is trying to help you from a part of your brain that can observe yourself to help you see that there are things you're doing and not doing, and you have formed a belief around those actions or inactions and behaviors that call you a bad mom. It's thinking in your head that is making this situation worse than it has to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just judging from your voice and the feedback I'm getting from you and my own intuition, I think this is a really good area for you to do the work around all kinds of situations with your son.
Okay.
And, you know, if your buddy coaching isn't working with it, go to Inquiry Power Hour and get coached there or hire a coach because, you know, when you stop believing you're a bad mom, your behavior will change and the situation will change, I promise you. And, you know, I have a 34-year-old daughter, and the work has helped my relationship with her significantly. I mean, she and I been doing battle since basically she was born. And, you know, I went to the school specifically with a lot of grief around this relationship, and it's helped tremendously. And, you know, we're great buddies now. And that's not to say that I did everything when she was young perfectly, but, you know, get some help here, okay?
Okay.
I don't want to keep talking about this. Let me have another volunteer, please, with a thought, and maybe not the most painful thought you're coping with today.
Hi, Evelyn.
Who's this?
This is Rachel.
Okay, Rachel.
Sure. So my thought is I'm never going to lose the weight.
I'm never going to lose the weight. Okay, what happens when you tell yourself that?
I feel heavy.
Uh-huh.
Sad.
Okay. So say this. I'm having the thought that I'm never going to lose the weight. And notice what happens.
I'm having the thought I'm never going to lose the weight.
Okay. What do you notice?
Yeah, I can feel, I notice there's some distance between me and my thought.
Okay, now try this. I notice I'm having the thought that I'm never going to lose the weight.
I notice I'm having the thought that I'm never going to lose the weight.
Okay. What do you notice now?
Yeah, that feels even a step. Then I'm seeing the thought instead of feeling it as much.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, Rachel, I would like you to guide Laurel through the same process now. Ask her for one of her thoughts, make sure it's framed up in a usable format, and then just guide her through this little process. And we're going to move through this tool in a round robin, you guys. And I'm right here to help if you get stuck. It's in your binder on page 4 of this course, right at the top.
Okay. Hi, Laurel.
Hey, how are you, Rachel?
I'm doing well. Do you have a thought that you brought to class?
Yeah. How about I should have a plan?
Okay. I should have a plan. How do you feel when you say that I should have a plan?
It makes me feel anxious because I don't have a plan.
Okay. Could you say instead, I'm having the thought that I don't have a plan?
Yeah, I'm having the thought that I should have a plan.
Should have a plan, okay. And, okay, notice how does that feel?
It doesn't cause as much anxiety.
Okay. And try out, I notice I'm having the thought that I should have a plan.
I notice I'm having the thought that I should have a plan. That feels really ridiculous, is what it feels. I notice I'm having the thought that I should have a plan and I don't. And so, yeah, there's something really silly about that.
Silly, like it's, how so silly?
I mean, like, good. Like it's ridiculous that I should think I have something that I don't have.
Okay.
It's a good ridiculous. Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful work, Rachel. Awesome.
Thank you.
Good job. So, Laurel.
All right, Ninja. Yes.
Laurel, here's a plan for you.
Yeah.
Coach Carrie using this tool.
Okay, Carrie, are you there?
I'm here. I just had to unmute myself.
Hi. Do you have a thought that you've brought today?
I can think of one pretty easily.
I can too these days. What's yours?
One thought this morning. I'm disorganized.
I'm too disorganized. And Carrie, when you have that thought, I'm too disorganized, how does it make you feel?
Frustrated.
I'm going to make a suggestion. And the ACT people suggest, and it's kind of like the Byron Katie thing too, start with notice what happens, because it's broader than just a feeling in the body. You notice how they use the language notice. Notice what happens.
So in other words, notice what happens when you have the thought, I'm too disorganized?
You as the coach, rather than saying, how does it feel, Carrie, when you say you're too disorganized, it's like, say that and notice what happens. You see, it's a subtle difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a broader question.
Okay.
And I want you guys to really understand feeling. We're talking about emotions and body sensations. Thinking, mental process in the head. Notice what happens. Gets it all.
Yeah, it's not specific, and that's intentional?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, just like question three with the work. How do you react and what happens when you believe the thought? Question three of the work is not how do you feel when you believe the thought.
Right.
Yeah. Just very subtle, because you're so advanced, Carrie. I mean, Laurel.
So, Carrie, notice what happens when you have the thought, I'm too disorganized.
I feel anxious, like I should change something. I get that kind of icky, anxious gut feeling.
Yeah. So, notice what happens when, blah, blah, blah. Notice what happens when you reword it this way. Try this on. I'm having the thought that I'm too disorganized.
I'm having the thought that I'm too disorganized. Yes, I agree with what other people have said. It puts a little wedge of distance
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. It just separates. It just puts a little degree of separation.
Yeah. Now try with these words. I'm noticing. I'm having the thought that X.
I'm having that I'm too disorganized. More separation. And some levity.
Okay, great.
Good job. Carrie.
Yes.
Please try this tool with Linda.
Hello, Linda.
Hi.
Hi. Is there any thought that's bothering you today?
Yeah, I hit on one. My parents must feel proud of me.
My parents must feel proud of me. But I'm guessing but this is a thought that's causing you distress, so you're not believing that they do feel proud of you?
Actually, no. It's their high regard that they have to always feel proud of me. Like, you know, So it's not that I feel that they don't, it's that I feel like that's what I have to, I'm realizing I'm, that feels like a bedrock, like no matter what I do, I got to function in a way that they would be proud of me.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
I think so, yes. Oh, and when you have that thought by itself, notice what happens.
So, I feel tension in my chest, and I feel agitated, and I feel trapped. I feel like I'm locked in jail. So that I, when I thought, you know, my parents have to feel proud of me, I feel like freaked out and tense in my chest.
That's good in that it sounds like you're really in tune with your body. What if instead you said, I'm having the thought that my parents must feel proud of me?
I'm having the thought that my parents must feel proud of me.
And notice what happens now.
So I feel relief. I feel so much more focused in the present. Like I'm having the thought just describes what's going on right now. It doesn't. Like that's all it's commenting on is I'm having the thought about this. It feels like it makes it one of an infinite number of thoughts I could have, and this just happens to be the one instead of like that it's true.
Mm-hmm. And then one step further, you say to yourself, I notice I'm having the thought that my parents must feel proud of me. If you say that, and then notice what happens.
I notice I'm having the thought that my parents must feel proud of me. So now I feel kind of like a split personality. Or I feel like, you know, there's two of me. There's the one doing the noticing, and then there's the one having the thought. But I feel aware of that distinction or that idea that there's a watcher and then I just feel aware of sort of both of those energies.
Yes. You're witnessing.
Yeah, and I'm like noticing the witnessing and not even thinking about the thought anymore.
Excellent. Carrie, you know what was excellent about that? When you didn't understand the thought, you asked her to clarify for you.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
That was so good that you just, you know, I don't get it. What, you know, you thought she was saying it like, oh, I did this awesome thing and my parents must be so proud of me. But she was seeing it as pressure. And you got her to clarify that for you. So very good. Thank you. Very good. So Linda.
Yes.
Try it with Kathy.
Okay. Hey Kathy.
Hey Linda.
So is there a thought that's you've been having that's distressing or that's not feeling good?
Yes, I am. Just yesterday, the thought was I was frustrated with my boys because they were not understanding the value of spending time with their grandfather. That's a long thought, huh?
So. How Would this represent that? My boys should spend time with their grandfather.
Mm-hmm. That would work.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about, well, yeah.
Well, what feels, try saying, so what resonates for you?
Hang on.
No,
thanks.
It's important to get it accurate at this point. And my hunch is, sure, Linda, that the problem is that they don't want to spend the time. Tell me where I'm wrong, Kathy. You want them to want to spend time with him.
Exactly. Exactly. To understand the value in it right now.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. To want that, not be told to, or, you know, just to have the desire. It feels like they've been raised for that to be a value. And yesterday it was noticeable that they were very resistant.
I see. So my kids should want to spend time with their grandfather? Does that feel like it?
Yeah. I wish they would see the value in it, yes.
Okay. My boys should see the value of spending time with their grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm.
Do you mind that I helped you out there, Linda?
Not at all. That was really helpful.
Okay.
My boys should see the value in spending time with their grandfather. So, Kathy, notice what happens when you're thinking that thought, when you're believing that thought.
Yeah, it makes me sad and anxious because the element of time is really, you know, kind of on our backs. He turned 87. My dad turned 87 on Saturday. So, I mean. It's not like he's a spring chicken. It's like if they don't realize it now, you know, I don't want it to be too late.
So you said when you're thinking this thought, you feel sad and anxious.
Mm-hmm.
What else happens when you're thinking this thought?
It kind of like life is a movie and it's fast forwarding really fast and I can see the ending and they're too young and like I want them to get it now, and so I'm kind of knowing what lies ahead, and I know they're kids and they want to go do their thing, but they'll never be able to get this time back. So just I get sad.
Just in the interest of time, if you could shorten down what happens.
It makes me sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad and anxious.
You.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks. Try inserting the statement, I'm having the thought that my boys should value spending time with their grandfather.
I'm having the thought that my boys should value spending time with their grandfather. Mm-hmm.
What happens when you say that?
It slows it down a bit.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Now try the statement, I notice I'm having the thought that.
I notice I'm having the thought that my boys should want to spend time with their grandfather.
And what happens when you say that statement?
It slows down my racing heart, like it slows down the feeling. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
That's good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Kathy, mm-hmm. I have a hunch, and you tell me where I'm wrong, but I have a hunch that this is a biggie for you. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
The same suggestion I made to Tiffany, and, you know, this is an area where the work might be a more powerful tool to start with first.
Mm-hmm.
And any of you who aren't feeling a lot of movement as you experience this, it you know, a Oh, especially motherhood and our children. Oh, I've been there so many thousand times. It's a real tender area for us. And, you know, we want so much for our kids. So, you know, it's a good area for self-coaching and getting coached for you. But keep at this lighter tool as well and see what happens. But the basic idea today is to try out the tool.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Tiffany, you did a great job. Great job. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. And, you know, with a little more practice, you'll get a little smoother at framing up the thought. And the
I wasn't the one coaching.
Huh?
Yeah,
oh,
did you mean me, Linda?
Yeah, I meant
that's
Linda.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I got the list here, and I skipped Tiffany because I had worked with her directly.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. So, Linda, that's the reason I jumped in there.
Yeah, no, thank you. That was helpful.
Okay. And
I was going to ask, is it, because I was shying away from framing up the thought because I wanted Cassie to do that in her words and have it come from her. So I was feeling tentative about, you know, how do I come up with the words, or does she, or how do I lead her there?
Yes, in an ideal situation, she would. And the main reason I intervened a couple of times there is just because we're in a class and I'm trying to move through a little bit. And
got it. Okay.
I
gotcha.
Knew, that's how I knew Kathy had so much energy around this, too. You know,
yeah.
A lot of information coming out and a lot of, you know, we could just tell from your voice, Kathy, and this is certainly no criticism of you. And do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, no, yeah, I do. I mean, I can't hear myself, but I can imagine it.
Yeah. I mean, motherhood. It's just such a nice area for...
Say no more, right?
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to change up the tool. And, Kathy, I'm going to demonstrate it with you. And then
okay.
You're going to move on with other people in the class. Okay, so this tool... It's called Name That Story. So when we have a cluster of thoughts around a particular situation, and, you know, let's just pick motherhood, Kathy, and the way your boys are turning out and what they do and don't do. Because I got a hunch you might have a cluster of thoughts around your performance as a mother, things
sure.
you should or shouldn't be doing. I don't know which it is. Is it that the boys aren't living up to expectations, or do you turn that back on yourself and they're not living up to your desires and expectations because you didn't train them right? Which that can go in two different directions.
Sure. No, I kind of turn it on them. They're kind of being, you know, brats.
Okay. So let's come up with a name for the story. The thoughts that you have when your boys are behaving like brats, when they're not doing what it is you've trained them to do. So then you can say to yourself, there's my, you know, one of my big stories is I made a mistake. Oh, anytime I do anything that, I mean, I'm better at it now, so it's not any time, but I made a mistake. Story. So that's the first place I look when I'm feeling low. Is there some place where I think I might have made a mistake? Am I in my I made a mistake story? So what's the story you've got about your boys?
I don't know. Maybe that they're just not getting it.
If you could give it a little more juice, like maybe
juice. I knew you were going to say that.
Like
that's
my boys are brats. There's in my boys are brats story.
That'll work. they're too old to be brats, but they really are being self-serving right now. So my
oh,
boys are brats
better.
Story.
That's even better.
Sorry. Okay.
How old are they?
21 and 23.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Okay.
Well,
so what's the story they're being self-serving? Yeah.
Well,
that's,
I mean, you can name it either one you want.
There's I like
my,
that.
My boys are being self-serving story.
Mm-hmm.
You like
perfect.
That better. Okay. So when you notice their behavior is annoying you or irritating you or frustrating you or upsetting you, you can remind yourself that I'm in my boys are self-serving story. Now, a little aside here before you practice the tool with somebody else.
Okay.
And that is that this is not about not having boundaries or accepting any kind of rotten behavior from anybody in our lives and not being clear about expectations. What these thought-dissolving tools have to do with you guys is to get us out of the spinning, ruminating, upsetting ways that our thoughts make a situation worse, so that we can find the truth and we can address it from a calm place rather than a place of expectation not being met, disappointment setting in, and then trying to set things straight from that upset place. So this doesn't mean that henceforth you will never say to your boys, look, Grandpa is sick, he's not going to be with us. You may not have the perspective on this that I have, but you guys need to ditch your plan Sunday and get over here, or whatever. But do you hear that, you know, that's calm and clear and straight rather than, you know, you're a bunch of self-serving brats and I'm sick and tired of your behavior and I'm not accusing you of talking to them like that.
I know you're not Terry, but you said it right. That's how the story, that's how the conversation went. You guys need to ditch your plans and get over here, but they're young adults and their argument was self-serving. So it was a circle. It was going to
yeah.
go in circles.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
But
so that's a good
thing about it. You know, either they're going to do it or they're not going to do it. But the calmer you can be about it, and if they do show up, you don't have to feel guilty about it, you see, when we get
right.
the things cleared up.
Okay, so it's name that story. So
you
take the tool and someone has a thought and you say, let's put a story,
well,
let's name that as a story?
It's used for a cluster of thoughts.
Cluster, okay.
A situation where we've got a lot of, you know, I've had clients say, oh, that loser, I'm a loser story. Or, you know, now with this client I talked to you about today, you know, I can see down the road if I use this tool with him, you know, he has a you're supposed to do it that way story. So we cluster a bunch of situations and thoughts all together, and it's kind of a shortcut. And sometimes it can be, you know, have a fun name or a funny name, you know. And for the particular client who had the I'm a loser story, I mean, it was kind of hilarious because she was the furthest thing in the world from a loser, but that's how she talked to herself in her head. Oh, I'm back in my I'm a loser story. So it's like a shortcut. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You kind of witness your own story that you've made, that you've created.
Exactly, exactly. So would you try that with Nicole?
Sure. Hi, Nicole. You there?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. Do you have any thoughts that are bothering you that you would like to talk about today? A thought?
My thought is that I should be doing more to build my business.
Okay,
you should
now
be doing...
Nicole, what we've moved to here is a cluster, you know, a thought that's representative of the way you approach things in multiple ways. So is I should mm-hmm. be doing more kind of a theme for you in multiple areas of your life?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. So, Kathy, now we've got it set up.
Well, then, if you want to play a little game with it, Nicole, then if that's a theme in your life, would you want to name a story so you could recognize when you're thinking this, but it's more a story that you're in?
I would call it the there's my need to do more story.
Need to do more story.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Okay.
So
then I'm sorry, you're not finished.
That's it. That's what I was going to ask you, Terry. So where do you, I go then?
Well, you
that's
can
it,
say
right?
something like this to her. Okay, so, Nicole, the next time you're stressed out about something, you can ask yourself, am I in my I need to do more story?
Mm-hmm.
Was that did I get the name of it right? I didn't jot it down.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty simple. Now, you use this with a client where you've seen it come up. This is how I use it. You know, I've seen the pattern come up in different situations, and they're ready to name a cluster. Now, any questions about the Name That Story tool?
I have a question, Mrs. Tiffany.
Yeah.
If they identify the story of these cluster of thoughts, would you then work on them with those thoughts, or perhaps maybe you already have?
Typically, you already have.
Okay.
And to me, this is a shortcut tool. I've done the work on, you know, I'm not doing enough as a mother, and I'm not doing enough as an LCT student, and I'm not doing enough in my marriage, and I'm not doing enough for my parents, and I'm not doing enough for the United States of America. And so, you know, we've identified and found all these places where the client is not doing enough, and then, oh, man, you know, try this.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah.
So this is a tool I tend to use later in coaching. And you'll notice we put the ACT after the work for that reason, that we think it works better after the client's really got a sense of thoughts driving feelings and stress and upset and behavior. Okay. Now, I need everybody to help me out here. What's a painful thought that pretty much everybody is having about LCT? Because I got another tool, another ACT tool I'm going to teach you that's not in the binder. Oh, it is. It actually is in the binder. They added it. Musical thoughts.
How about I suck at this?
Awesome. I suck at coaching?
Sure.
Is that a pretty genuine, I mean, a general one that many people on the call can relate to?
Yes.
Yep.
I suck at coaching. Okay. So we're going to all sing this together, and the worse you sing, the better it is. It's a parallel. And we're going to sing it to the tune of, let's say, Happy Birthday. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. I suck at coaching. I suck at,
coaching.
I suck at coaching.
In every way.
In every way.
Every day.
So that's how you do musical thoughts.
Oh, that's funny.
I actually do this one with clients, and it always lightens the mood and helps them get some perspective. You know, when we're talking about observing ourselves, having the thought, the thought somehow loses its bite, doesn't it? It just, it's like, are you kidding me? I'm losing sleep over this. So these tools are so simple and so powerful and can lighten the mood. And if you can get a client to name that story with something really fun, that's another place where, you know, you can get some levity, which lightens things up. It makes it more fun and, again, helps the client separate from their identity of a coach who sucks rather than somebody who's having a thought that they're learning a new skill and believing they suck at it. Just saying. And you know what's going to happen when you guys get over... Man, my phone is going off like crazy. Let me turn off this. When... I'm sorry, it distracted me. When I get you guys down the road for coaching ethics... Let's see. Do I have you for anything else? I'm going to check really quick. Well, I'm going to do coach the coach. Now with room B, I'm going to do coach the coach 4. I'm also going to do Lizard Lounge with section 1. Are you section 1?
No, we're
two.
Section 2.
Well, dang it.
Can I ask a question? This is
ethics on the schedule here. Which I better do something about because I got to teach you guys ethics. Anyway, when you get towards the end, this is going to seem so much easier. I know it's a struggle right now, but as you practice, it's just going to start clicking, those of you who will practice. And there's usually a person or two who doesn't practice and they flounder, but it makes all the difference in the world. Just keep trying. Who has a question?
That was me, Kathleen. I wanted you to know, I must have gotten on the call right after you took roll.
Oh, okay, good.
I was here. My question, yes, on the labeling the story, that seems to make light of it too. What if the story isn't light?
Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, now if it's a story, the story is pretty much usually, well, no, I take that back. You know, my husband shouldn't have cheated on me. I wouldn't try and make a joke about that. And I wouldn't work that thought either. I wouldn't go blasting into that super painful thought. I would chip around the edges. My marriage is over. Nobody will ever love me again. You know, my kids are suffering. Those kind of peripheral thoughts around the edges of, you know, my husband shouldn't have had an affair because the turnaround, my husband should have had an affair. I mean, Byron Katie can pull that one off, but she's got people for 9 days and 9 nights and the support and energy of a whole room and a staff right there to take people in meltdown off and work with them intensively. So she can do that stuff, but as many times as I've done the work, I still wouldn't guide people into those big, super blast-you-in-the-face thoughts. Now, other coaches who are very competent might have different opinions of that. All I can tell you is the way I work. And believe me, I have plenty to do just kind of chipping with the less blast-you-in-the-face kind of stuff. I can do plenty with these thought-dissolving tools without going there. But if your intuition tells you, don't go there because let's not make light of this situation, don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't do
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you always trust your internal compass on this. Okay,
yes, thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? Well, you guys, it has.
You know what, Tara? It's Kristen. I have one that I forgot to ask early on. Can you explain the difference between the work Martha's version and the work Byron Katie's version?
Well, that's an interesting question, because the way Martha used to have a version of the work is she's kind of changed, because she just went to the school for the work. And so she's much more, she used to say for question two, give me three examples of how that thought is not true. So she would force kind of a position on question two. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I was just noticing that that was on the agenda for the first class of this practice.
Oh, okay.
To see the difference between them, and I thought, did I miss it? Or?
Yeah, and because she just went to the school and is no longer doing it that way, when she's in her classes with you, you won't hear her. I mean, I don't know when you had your work class with her and how she did it, but she's... You know, she's changed that.
Okay.
Martha, and one of the things you've got to understand, you know, Martha takes great amounts of information and tools that are out there, and she makes them hers, and she does it brilliantly. She does it better than anybody. And so there was nothing wrong with the way she did it that way. I mean, she's a pretty successful person. But she has changed her mind on that, and in fact, we had a meeting 2 weeks ago with all the instructors, where Martha shared with her experience at the school. So, should you hear her using this tool in the future, you probably won't hear her using that. Well, I'm sure you won't. I said probably. I mean, you won't. I'm sure she's changed it now, and is doing it the way she learned it at the school. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Good question. Good catch. Anyone else? Okay. I had so much fun with you guys. And we will be back together again at some point here. I think I'm going to check on coaching ethics right now, because it should have popped up on my calendar. But in any event, my door, my inbox are always open to you guys. So any questions, please let me know. And whoever that was with the ethics question, the mental health thing, please, you know, if you review that and still have a question, email me and we'll start a forum thread on it, or any kind of question, please let me know. And I wish you so much success.
Thank you.
And for those
thank you so much, Eric.
Gathering in April, which I hope you all are going to, because it's going to be a blast, come find me. I'll be there and we can meet in person. Okay?
Great.
All right. Bye, you guys.
Thanks, Carrie.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.